Praise the Lord. Message number 182. The title of the message is Suffering, Part 9. I speak about fasting. And we will tackle the book of Esther. And this will be section A. Fasting is one of the things the scripture teaches us. I speak about it. And many situation where the people of God had passing through hardship, persecution, and were pressurized, but fasting proves a powerful weapon in facing persecution. The people of God, a long time who lived their life to worship God and to serve Him, they were persecuted by the devil, who used people to do that. Devil may persecute you because you want to follow God, and he may use people to harm you, to pressurize you, to persecute you. The people of God, as we going to read, they face that persecution with a prayer and fasting. They pray and fast, they presented their request and petition unto the God, unto the Lord, who ultimately delivered them and saved them. The book of Esther is a very good example about the power of fasting and the application of fasting in our life. We know that the Jews that God has sent into exile into Babylon, later on they became under the Persian Empire, and they were faced with the persecution, and the enemy wanted to annihilate the enemy, and that was Haman, want to annihilate all the Jews. That happened during the reign of the King Xerxes. Haman, who was the enemy of the Jews, this person was elevated by the king and had given a seat of honor higher than that of all the other nobles. So all the people, they were even bowing down to him. In Esther chapter 32, chapter 3 verse 2, it say all the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid honor to Haman, for the king had commanded this concerning him. But Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor. Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor because he was a true worshiper of God, and who would bow down only to God and serve Him. The devil will attack you, will attack the church, will attack the Christian who does not bow down, who does not compromise, who does not give discount with God's word, but they keep their commitment to God in full, and they serve the Lord wholeheartedly. Devil may persecute, but prayer and fasting will work for our behalf, and the Lord will deliver us from all our troubles. Before we go into the message, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day that you give us. Thank you for your word that you are sending to your church to help us, Lord, to deliver us, to deliver your people who are persecuted, those who are called by your name, and they are living in holiness unto you, and they are persecuted by their enemies. I pray that the message will find a way to raise them, to encourage them, to stand firm in faith, to trust you, that you can deliver them. I pray that the message will raise up the responsibility of your people to carry each other's burden and raise up responsible servants of yours who are not thinking and who will not think about their life and or themselves, but they will think about how they can help others and stand with them in their troubles. Lord, anoint my lips and arrange the message in the way that you want it to go on. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Master. This is all we ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we have read that Mordecai would not pay attention to Haman or bow down to him. That make Haman very angry. In the book of Esther, chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, we can read the following. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, he was enraged. Yet, having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes. You know, sometime when a Christian stand firm, the whole Christian will be persecuted. But you don't take it in this way. Christ stood firm on the cross and he saved us. And devil is against him. And he is against us. The Lord fought the battle for us on the cross. We have the victory, but we have to do our part. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Mordecai, he stood firm, he resists the devil, and finally, the devil flew from him. Mordecai motivated all the people of God, as Haman motivated all the kingdom to destroy the people of God, the Jews. Mordecai, God behind him, motivated the whole people of God to stand against the devil. Well, Haman truly walked out to annihilate the whole Jews. He set a day and a month to do that. It was the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, and that is March, and was able to convince King Xerxes to issue a decree to do that, as we can read in verse 12 to verse 14 from the book of Esther, chapter 3. Then on the 13th day of the first month, the royal secretaries were summoned. They wrote out in the script of each province and in the language of each people all Haman's order to the king's satraps, the governors of the various provinces, and the nobles of the various people. These were written in the name of King Xerxes himself and sealed with his own ring. Dispatches were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces with the order to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and little children, on a single day, the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, and to plunder their goods. A copy of the text of the edict was to be issued as law in every province and made known to the people of every nationality, so they would be ready for that day. So here, the plan of devil, not only to destroy one person, but the whole community of the believer, the whole church, and they would destroy them, and they will take away also all their goods and all their belonging. Let's read what had happened after that. When Mordecai learned of all that, that is, we are reading chapter 4 from verse 1. And I will read until verse 3. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When there was a strike, fasting is the treatment for the situation. Prayer and fasting, Mordecai was wailing, crying bitterly. Not only he, the rest of the people of God in every place that they hear the news, they call upon God in prayer and fasting and in wailing. We know that who is the relative of the man Mordecai, Esther, and also her other name is Hadassah, who was also called Esther, was Mordecai's cousin. Mordecai adopted her as his daughter after the death of her parents, and later on she became the wife queen of King Xerxes. And as we know, when she was brought to the citadel of Susa, according to Esther chapter 2 verse 10, we can read that Esther had not revealed her nationality and family background, because Mordecai had forbidden her to do so. So here we found that God had prepared something to save his people beforehand. And we found that here, that Esther, she was obedient to the instruction of her father Mordecai, who adopted her. See, here obedience is very important for such kind of situation to be handled. So here we know that Esther was the queen, and she hid the information from everyone and from the king, even in obedience to the instruction of Mordecai, the man who adopted her. And she was his cousin, and that was to fulfill God's purpose in her life and in the life of the people of God. Every instruction that we give you and you abide, God will use your obedience in the future to fulfill his purpose in your life and in the life of the church and the people of God. We know that the news of what had happened about the evil plan of Haman against the Jews reached Esther. How it reached it? We can read Esther chapter 4. We can read in the book of Esther and read. We will read chapter 4. Verse 48. When Esther, Maaz, and Enoch came and told her about Mordecai, She was in great distress. She sent cloth for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money, Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. Verse 8, he also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain it to her. And he told him to urge her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. We find here that, you know, when the people of God they face with persecution, what they did, they pray and fast. And God led Mordecai. He was praying and fasting, crying to God, wailing in a bitterness. God led him to approach Esther, because Esther, she was the wife of the king, and she will be the one to speak on their behalf. When we pray and fast, God will lead us to do the right things of what we need to do, to call upon the government, to reach certain people in authority who would help in the situation. Now, Esther, she need to act in faith and serve God to save her people and God's people. The devil, we know, was using Haman to persecute and annihilate the people of God, those who are in exile. Therefore, the people of God should act in faith. They already started, as we have read, great mourning among the Jews with fasting, weeping, and wailing. Petitioned their request to God to act and to intervene to save them. And most likely, the decision of Mordecai to send a copy of the edict to Esther was God's will for her to act on the behalf of the people of God. And I can see that God was calling her. The request of Mordecai to Esther was God's calling into her life to intervene in the behalf of the life of the people of God. We'll continue to read in chapter 4, Esther chapter 4, verse 9 to verse 11. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death. The only exception to this is for the king to extend the gold scepter to him and spare his life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. You know, from the answer of Esther to him, of course she was called by God, and God sent his call to her through Mordecai, through this letter and the instruction of Mordecai to her. But it seems here that Esther was showing fear to face the situation. And also, not only she was afraid And she wanted also to escape the responsibility. She was trying to justify her stance. She was what we call it as she was shrunk back. She wanted to escape the persecution that the people of God and she herself was facing. You know, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, it says, "But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him." Esther here, she saw fear, and she is shrinking back, and that will not make God pleased with her. If you will continue to read Esther chapter 4, verse 12 to 14, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back his answer, "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this." Mordecai rebuked Esther for her wrong stand. He rebuked her, he corrected her, and also he warned her about the consequences of what she's doing. What she was doing is a sin, and the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20, "Those who sin are to be rebuked publicly, so that the others may take warning." Those Christian who does not want to suffer, they are sinning against God, and they need to be rebuked. Those Christians who refuse to be persecuted, they are sinning, and they need to be rebuked. Those Christians who refuse to take the responsibility of the ministry and do the work of God, they are sinning, and they need to be rebuked publicly. Mordecai rebuked her, reminded her about God's calling in her life, and how she needs to serve him wholeheartedly. The message is also for everyone of you here. Don't be afraid and do not shrink back to serve God, and do your part as a Christian. If you are blessed now and others are in troubles, you need to do something to help them and to help yourself. Why you need to do something to help them? Because all we are brother and sister in Christ, and we need to do our responsibility. If you have received a blessing from the Lord, you must be willing to suffer for him, for it is for Christ's behalf. It was credited to you not only to believe in him, not only to receive salvation, but to suffer for him. And also, if you are blessed now and others are facing troubles and persecution, don't think that you are safe. The time will come you will also be involved sooner or later. So what you need to do, you need to stand with them so that persecution will be far away from you. The best way to defend is to attack the devil. Prayer and fasting. If you shrink, if you want to escape, if you want to hide, that will bring more trouble, and persecution will come sooner into your life. If you escape, you will be in disgrace, and that will be counted to you as backsliding and sinning against the Lord. Now, one thing I want to emphasize here, you may hear that many Christians in the world, they are persecuted. Now, that's true. Also, there are certain sect of Christians who are idol worshippers. God allowed that they'll be persecuted, they'll be in trouble as he did to his people in Jerusalem who were worshipping idols. They were killed in the street, they were slaughtered. And God allowed it, God ordained it because they were worshipping idols. Now, here, the persecution of the people of God in Susa, not because of that, they were persecuted because Mordecai refused to bow down to Haman. Mordecai, the man of God, refused to bow down to the people. This is the real persecution. When Esther was showing that she is in danger if she will go to the king, and she was trying to justify herself, Mordecai, the one who adopted her, the one who is the pastor at that time, sent a rebuke to his spiritual daughter, and we know that his rebuke to her was effective to remobilize her again to go on and do the work of God. And we can read that in Book of Esther chapter 4 verse 15 to 17. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days. Night or day, I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. You know, that's what God wants to hear. God wants his people to be united. Those who are in plenty, those who are in peace, those who are in prosperity, he wants them to carry the burden of those who are persecuted, who are pressurized. And as the Bible say, carry each other burden, and that's what God wants. 3 days of prayer and fasting, no food, no drink, and if I perish, I perish. God forbid that his people will perish. God is pleased to see his people united and willing to stand firm, to face the pressure of persecution, the pressure of devil. Such kind of fasting is our commitment to God and to his people in facing the hardship and the threats. Nowadays, people, they don't like to suffer and take the responsibility toward God and toward other people who are under pressure of the enemy. That is the devil. But as God had find a way to the heart of Esther, God will find a way in your heart and the heart of his church and his people, and the Lord is able to mobilize all of us to go on and do the 3 days of prayer and fasting in order that his people, we are his people, his church will be delivered from the work of the devil. Persecution will come. The word of God is said to us that those who want to live a godly life will be persecuted in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Many, they don't like to take risk while they are serving the Lord, but that is not possible. The Bible tells us that persecution will come, and especially when we want to live a godly life for Christ. We cannot avoid persecution. Persecution is part of our calling and part of our suffering unto the Lord. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3, endure hardship with us as a good soldier for Christ. We are here on earth waiting for the Lord to come and take us, but while we are waiting for the Lord, the persecution will come from the devil and attack us. We should not escape the responsibility to face persecution, for the Lord will be with us as he was with his people, as he was with Esther, as he was with Mordecai, as he was with the Jews in all the kingdom of the Persian, in all the kingdom of Xerxes. For the Lord will be with us and aid us to support us. As Esther responded to the call of God in her life, let us also in the same way, all of us, respond to the call of the Lord. In facing persecution, let us be united. Let us feel the pain of one another. Let us feel the pain of the true Christian who are persecuted all over the world. Let us not think about ourselves, but let us live our life unto him, as God's word teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 15, say, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. I pray that the message would help you, will make you wake up, go back to do your responsibility toward God and toward his people. If you are backsliders, if you are away from the church, if you have received a blessing and you enjoy it, don't forget you have responsibility. You are accountable to God. Don't think that you are now safe. If you are now safe, your turn will come. How you face it? From now. Take your uniform, be ready in a prayer and fasting. Be willing to do your assignment to go forward, to speak in behalf of the church and the behalf of the people of God. The Lord will listen to our prayers, united, and he will deliver us, and he will save us, and he will do great things in our midst. Lord, we thank and we praise you for the message. I pray that this message would motivate your people to be united, will motivate us to be united in their presence, O Lord, to take our responsibility, that no more we live for ourselves, but for you, who died for us and rose from the dead. I pray for deliverance of all the Christians who are truly persecuted now in the world. O God, lead us as a church to pray and fast and to do the right thing that's needed from us to do. O Lord, I pray that you raise up servants like Esther, who have received your blessing, and now they want to really commit their lives fully unto you, Lord. Use them mightily and effectively. Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hands be with us and keep us, Lord, from harm, so that you will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Christ's name. Amen and amen.